an AppleViz original.
NetNewsWire is an open source project, and that means it's kind of like an old-fashioned barn raising. Everybody comes together and they all pitch in and we all build something together. You start to realize that if you make your app and it's not accessible, it's actually a form of discrimination. And, you know, you really, really, you know, from both, you know, from a moral perspective, you need to make your app accessible. And so, yeah, I firmly believe that it's something you should do no matter what. It's something companies should do no matter what. They shouldn't look at the profitability of it. And we certainly don't look at it as a trade-off in any way. No, surprisingly not. And I think this is a real testament to Apple's work on accessibility and the way they take it seriously all the way to the bottom of the operating system.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to AppleViz Extra. Hey, my name is Thomas Donville. I also go by a name of Anonymous. It's been quite a while since I've been back on an extra, but I have a developer here from NetNewsWire, or I should say one of the many developers, I'm sure, and we'll find out more about it. And here we are with Maurice Parker. How are you, Maurice?
I'm doing good. How are you today, Thomas?
I'm doing well, and thank you so much for coming on for AppleViz Extra. This is where we get to know about the developer and the kind of the history and find out what's all the nuts and bolts it takes to get into an app like NetNewsWire. So I'd like to start out with maybe tell our users, what is NetNewsWire exactly?
NetNewsWire is an RSS reader. The best way I've heard to describe that is that it's like a podcast, but it's for reading. So it allows you to subscribe to certain websites, and when they post articles on those websites, it automatically comes to you and formats it in a way that's easy for you to read.
That's pretty much, that's exactly what it is. It's like a podcast feed where people can find feeds, or it's just basically news and aggregates it in one place so you can read all the articles and thus. And so what do you do for NetNewsWire exactly?
So NetNewsWire is an open source project. And that means it's kind of like an old-fashioned barn raising. Everybody comes together and they all pitch in and we all build something together for the betterment of everybody. And what I do on NetNewsWire is I work on the various syncing systems, but primarily my job last year in 2019 was to bring the iOS app to market.
So your main focus was iOS for the past year or so, right?
Yeah. So, that was a big undertaking. What I did was I ported the original project, which was written by Brent Simmons, to iOS from the Mac.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a quite interesting history about NetNewsWire I did not know about. I guess it all started back in 2002, I think, by Brent Simmons himself. And it was originally as a NetNewsWire then. And then like 3 years later after that, I want to say about 2005, he sold it to a conglomerate called NewsGator, which I've heard before, back in the wee days before iOS even existed. I did hear about NewsGator. And I guess it's been in like that until, gosh, some years back when he decided to, something like about, he was wanting to restart this up, but he couldn't use NetNewsWire because he didn't have the rights for it, so he called it Evergreen, I think he called it, and then he got the rights back. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. And that's really when I got involved with the project. I believe I read about it on the internet. It was big news that Brent Simmons got the name NetNewsWire back. And so I realized it was an open source project, and I went and I looked at the source code to it, and I was quite impressed with it and decided I wanted to be involved with the project. And, I wasn't much of a Mac developer at the time. I mostly worked on iOS, but by reading his code, I was able to become a Mac developer.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this open source. I think a lot of people may not understand what that means. So basically, open source is a community where any group of developers can come and volunteer their time to make that particular software more developed, right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, so most people, they support themselves with a day job. And so in the evenings or on weekends, as time permits with their family life, they'll get online and We go to a chat room in Slack, and we communicate back and forth just as if we were working at a company, and talk about new features, things we want to work on, problems we're having, you know, try and help each other out. And then we also want our own code, and acts, you know, basically as the blueprints for making software, is writing that code. And then we all put that together, and out comes a product like NetNewsWire.
That's amazing how a group of you could work together as a team, and you don't really see each other at an office or anything. This is all virtual, I'm guessing. And you guys, I'm sure that you like Zoom or Skype each other quite a bit, or is it just all by mail? How do you keep all this all together with everybody else with your code?
It's mostly, we occasionally via email, but almost all through Slack is how we do it.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I worked with Brent Simmons for a year and a half on the project before I ever heard his voice, you know, other than in a podcast. You know, Brent does quite a few podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So I am curious, how many are there exactly? How many developers are there in NetNewsWire itself?
You know, it really almost varies from week to week. We have people come into the project and come out of the project. You know, some were around a long time before I showed up, and they, you know, don't have the spare time to, you know, contribute now. And so they've moved on. Sometimes somebody shows up just to implement a feature that they in particular want. So, for example, if you have a favorite syncing service that you want to sync NetNewsWire with, you know, you might show up and actually work on that and get that implemented, but then not have time to contribute after that. You know, it really, we have probably, you know, a core of 3 to 5 people working at any time. But, you know, the true number is probably around 20 people have contributed, if not more.
Wow. That's a big, large base. That's awesome. And so this is a volunteer base, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, you have to have a different kind of management style. It's a bit like herding cats because, you know, it's a different dynamic than an office space. But, you know, Brent being our team lead does a great job of that.
Well, you know, I always appreciate people volunteering for something like this, especially an open source project. I don't know what it is about open source, but I really love open source projects where that comes from an open source. It just seems a lot different dynamic than just, say, a commercial branded software. It just seems like, you know, it takes a different kind of people to come in as a volunteer and do this dedicated on their lives, and that says a lot. And so what did you do before you volunteer to NetNewsWire?
I had a career as a software architect. I did a lot of Java middleware in my career. And so, for example, if you had a mainframe computer that had a lot of financial data stuck in it with an old COBOL CICS and DB2 system, these are the old technologies from like the 60s and 70s that a lot of our financial systems still run on. If you wanted to get that data out to somebody on their telephone or out to the web, I'd be the guy that made all that happen.
So you're retired then now?
I am retired now, yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's amazing. So this has kind of sort of been a hobby for you then, per se.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is for me. And this is how I spend my spare time. I would much rather be creating software than I would be watching television, for example.
Well, that's interesting how you came from such a, you know, I am familiar with COBOL and all that. So believe it or not, I used to do that programming in COBOL as well. And so it's interesting to see how people evolve from such a different kind of language than it is today, like iOS, which we're using more of an Xcode or C++.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Swift is the language that we're using primarily on NetNewsWire. And yes, it's very different than the COBOL world.
Oh, definitely. And so, are you the person that's behind? Are you one or the person or the person that's been the essential part of making NetNewsWire so accessible on iOS?
Yes. The accessibility portion, both for the Mac app and iOS, was me. I originally got involved with the project about a year and a half ago. And as you work on these open source projects, you kind of pick up the pieces that people haven't gotten done yet, or, you know, the things that people maybe don't necessarily want to do. And accessibility testing was one of the things that Brent had laid out as necessary. he strongly felt that, you know, this app needed to be accessible, but nobody had picked up the accessibility portion yet. And this is on the Mac app, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so I started learning VoiceOver. I learned about accessibility. I watched a lot of videos on accessibility and how to make apps accessible. And that's kind of how, you know, as we were getting ready to launch the Mac app the first time, I got used to making sure things were accessible, and that carried over into the iOS app.
How interesting. Now, we're talking about NetNewsWire version 5, right? So this is like the... Okay. And so accessibility was something you were not aware of or didn't know exists, I'm guessing. And this is something that Brent had knew about.
You know, I knew it existed, but I don't think that... I don't think I took it as seriously as Brent did at first. Mm-hmm. It was only that I got assigned the task, and then I really got the religion, so to speak, where I really, you know, I watched those videos, and the videos from Apple about accessibility are very, very convincing. And yeah, you know, you watch these and you start to realize that if you make your app and it's not accessible, it's actually a form of discrimination. And you know, you really, really, you know, from both, you know, from a moral perspective, you need to make your app accessible. And so, yeah, I firmly believe that it's something that you should do no matter what. It's something companies should do no matter what. They shouldn't look at the profitability of it. And we certainly don't look at it as a trade-off in any way. Making NetNewsWire accessible is a core goal of the project.
What was that like? Was that like really difficult to do, or is that something that's easy? It's just people just don't think of it, or what is that?
Well, one of the things we do with NetNewsWire is we try to be true to the platform. And that means using as many of the native platform controls, like buttons and tables and sliders and things like that. We try to use as many of those as possible so that it looks like it belongs on the platform. Mm-hmm. And Apple has done a great job of making those core pieces already very accessible. As long as you don't deviate too far from what Apple recommends, you end up with a pretty accessible product already. And so that's honestly where 90% of our accessibility comes from, is just the fact that we don't do strange things. And we try to match the platform.
Sure. So the more controls and elements you have on there, the more control you have for that particular control item that you can adjust to or label it or make it talk back to us. I'm guessing that's how it works, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it comes for free as long as you aren't making things like what we would call a custom control, which would maybe be a button that looks unusual and you're trying to be fancy.
Yeah.
You know, if you do something like that, and sometimes you should, you need to make sure you pay special attention to accessibility and provide all the accessibility elements so that things like a screen reader can interact with them correctly.
Now, I am curious, have you had any time where accessibility was such a headache? It's like, I can't get it to work, or this was just so difficult that it was just making me want to pull my hair out. Have you had anything like that before?
No, surprisingly not. And I think this is a real testament to Apple's work on accessibility and the way they take it seriously all the way to the bottom of the operating system. They always have some way to make that element accessible. And yeah, there's a learning curve associated with that on what to do, but the pieces to make it all come together are available for you to do so. And so, yeah, I haven't really had a moment, and there's plenty of moments like that in programming, as you know, where you're just like wanting to tear your hair out, right?
Right.
So, but not with accessibility. I haven't had any problems with that.
Well, that's good to hear, because, you know, as a blind user out there that's listening to here, we always are curious why certain apps are not so accessible and others are. Now, I can say there are some apps out there, like you said, they're really for eye candy. You know, they really want to make this look cool, and they make their own customized controls. And when they do that, they kind of stray, kind of go off the path. Well, now you're into the path where it's not going to be very accessible because you went to that direction. And for those apps that do have lots of elements and things like this. Now, games, it must be a nightmare, because I couldn't even begin to think how the games would even work. But for something like NetNewsWire, where there is standards, you know, we have buttons, we got tabs, we got things like that would make it more things easier. So it's good to hear from a developer like yourself that kind of let us know that it is plausible. It's just a matter of them educating them and taking that, we want to say, going down that learning path, as you say. Now, you said it was a steep learning path, curve to learn.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because, you know, I have good vision, but learning how to use VoiceOver was challenging at first. Mm-hmm. I would assume that it's challenging for everybody to learn at first, but, you know, to actually be able to use your app with your eyes closed isn't easy, you know, it's just not. And so
it's a learning curve for all of us. You're right.
So yeah, learning how to use VoiceOver was probably one of my biggest hurdles. But once I did, you know, I really came to appreciate what you could do, you know, with a little bit of elbow grease to make your app so that you can use it without vision.
Yeah, I wish I was a fly on the wall when you first turned your device with VoiceOver on and closed your eyes. You must just say to yourself, oh my God, this is a jumble of mess. But yet, once you got the hang of it, it was pretty sweet setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was very, very enlightening to, you know, and you know, you can't just close your eyes because you're going to open them again. And so, you know, I kind of blindfolded myself to make sure I didn't do anything like that to cheat. And yeah, make sure you can get around the app, you know, pretty well.
Well, I tell you, when NetNewsWire first came out, I've read about this probably the late part of last year that it was coming to iOS, and I was really excited because NetNewsWire has been around for eons on the Mac, and so when I heard it was coming to iOS, you know, one of those things that I always think to myself, I said, oh man, I really hope this is accessible. And so when I downloaded it the first day it came out, I was just totally blown away how accessible it was, but not just how accessible it was, but what you went into it. So for example, what I'm talking about, if the developers are actually taking advantage of the rotor gestures and things like that, then you just took it to the next notch. I mean, that you're just stepping up into utilizing different VoiceOver options that you don't always find. And I was just totally blown away how accessible it was. And you guys did an amazing job in nailing everything down. And so kudos to you and the team for that.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank David Goodwin. He helped me with some of that. He provided some feedback on places that, you know, could have improved accessibility. And we went back and forth a little bit and tried to beef up some of the weak spots. And we still find a spot every once in a while. You know, we found a couple buttons the other day that needed their accessibility labels corrected. But yeah, we take it seriously.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, David Goodwin is the, you know, for say he is the head dude or the leader of AppleViz.com. And so he's always in the background back there, but he's always got his hand and fingers and things. And so when I found out about that, I was like, that's totally amazing. So were you able to work with anybody else besides David on the project and making things more accessible?
No, I don't think we didn't really have that much feedback with regards to problems with accessibility. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And part of accessibility, you know, is, you know, making sure the app performs well, you know, it's fast, it's lightweight feeling. And so we do spend a lot of time focusing on that too.
Well, between you two, you guys just nailed it. And I highly recommend it for a lot of people. If anybody is interested in this app itself, I do a podcast on it for you to listen to. I got to ask you now, you guys have come into a crowded market when it comes to RSS readers out there. There's, you know, there's a dime a dozen. What would you think makes your app more unique than, say, other RSS readers? What makes it so unique?
Well, you know, first of all, we like the other RSS readers out there, and we're really not about taking market share from them. We're more about growing the market for everybody. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's open source and it's free. It's to make it, you know, accessible to people who maybe don't have the $5 to get in there and buy an RSS reader, even though, you know, lots of times it's well worth spending the money on one of them. To your question as to what makes NetNewsWire unique and different than the other RSS readers out there, I think it's the dedication to performance. It's the dedication to simplicity, ease of use, And the design aesthetic is a little bit different than the other ones that you'll see, in that it really looks like, and we try hard to make it true to the platform, even though it feels like NetNewsWire. And so if you notice, if you see the Mac app and you see the iPad app, they're very, very similar, and they work very, very much the same, with the same keyboard shortcuts and the same general layout. But at the same time, they also feel very much like they belong on iOS, or they feel like they belong on the Mac. And being true to the platform is something that we take seriously. And I think that especially in the iOS sphere, a lot of people really want to strike out with their own look and feel and their own designs, and try to be original. And that's very different than what we try to do. We believe that you can do good design within the constraints of the platform that you're working on.
Yeah, consistency, simplicity, and being accessible is the top three reasons why I like about NetNewsWire. And like, as you say, it's open source. And not that I want to take, food away from people that are doing it for a living and things like that, but it just makes it one more level up. Like, these are volunteer people that made this. And the simplicity, you're absolutely right, it is extremely simple to use, which I love about it. And as you say, it is fast. I was amazed how quick it will load all the various things. I mean, if you took a look at, see how many feeds I have, I probably got almost, gosh, if I had to guess, probably almost 100. And to get all those feeds pulled down within several seconds was just amazing. Just blew my mind away. And you guys provide services like Feely and Feedbin, which is great services. But I found out that you almost got better result when you just do your own, which you allow to have customized feeds on the phone itself, which means that I'm not using a third-party service. Is that something you have found as well?
Brent wrote all of that in the very beginning, just the, what we call the local account, mm-hmm. where you don't have to rely on a third party syncing service. And, he did a great job of making that, compliant, with, web standards and fast. And it's one of the best ways to, use NetNewsWire with your local account. But if you have to sync across multiple devices, Feedbin is an excellent choice. Feedly is an awesome choice. That's coming to the Mac very soon. And we have other sync services in the works as well. We know that other feed readers support lots of other third-party solutions out there, and we're working to support more of those all the time. We have NewsBlur in progress, and it's a volunteer came on and wrote that for us. I just completed, almost completed CloudKit syncing. So that will be coming into testing here, hopefully within the next few months. We're always working towards making more options available to people, but still going back to, the original point, not complicating the app, keeping it simple still.
Exactly. And I'm really excited to hear that you said that the cloud syncing is going to be coming up. That, that's one of the biggest features that was missing on NetNewsWire. And I know you guys are constantly trying to put new things in it and that would be a game changer there, because that way those people that have NetNewsWire now will sync across your Mac, your iPad, and your iPhone all at once. And so that alone would be a huge benefit right there. And if you don't have such service like that, you can, like you said, you can do Feedly and Feedbin. Now, one thing I found out about David Goodwin, he was telling me about, and I didn't realize this, is some of the services that we assign to, like Feedly, if you do the free services, one of the downfall of that is doesn't refresh feeds as often as you think it does. I thought it was real time, and it's not. I mean, that's the whole point of the paid services, is that if you want real time, you have to pay extra. Otherwise, it may be 2 or 3 hours behind. And so that's why I went on to the phone base, was that so that way I can instantaneously get those feed immediately, which I found and didn't realize that was happening.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things about our CloudKit syncing, is it's really based on the local account that you have today. So, the faster syncing is one of the things that the CloudKit syncing service itself will have, because, again, you don't have to rely on a third-party service. It's going to be your own computer going out and checking those websites for those feeds.
Now, I'm curious, what kind of response have you guys gotten from NetNewsWire itself as an app itself?
Wow, it's been overwhelmingly positive. It's been great. You know, this is, I think Brent, he's used to this kind of attention, and and you know, he's got a long history of writing award-winning RSS apps, you know, NetNewsWire underneath different versions of the product. But for me, you know, it's very interesting when I see things like, you know, Macworld featured it this week, to see some of the work that I've done featured in Macworld. It's very new to me.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? You should be. You should be proud of what you've done. And it's so great to have your name associated with things that like this. What kind of response have you gotten from, or if any, from the accessible point of view, like from low vision and blind folks? Have you had any?
Yeah, we've gotten great feedback about that. A lot of them are very surprised at how accessible it is. And honestly, the feedback that it was so accessible surprised me. I'd worked on it. You know, we'd spent a lot of time on it, and we think it's a core value. But you don't know necessarily how well you've done, because I do have vision. You know, and I can't understand a person without vision. As a person without vision. So the feedback that we were accessible was extremely gratifying.
That's awesome. And you should be proud of that, both of you guys and all, and everybody on that team should be as well. Well, a lot of those future things that we can expect for it sounds great. So you're talking about new services, you're talking about cloud syncing. Anything else that might be of interest?
We are exploring bringing some social services or social network data into the app. So that's something, that's something that I've been working on lately, you know, to make things more accessible as far as getting into some of this data. For example, if you're a Reddit reader, its RSS feeds aren't necessarily that great. And so maybe it would be great if you could get, you know, RSS or better Reddit data inside your reader. Or Twitter data, for example, so that you don't have, if you wanted to monitor Twitter, but not necessarily have to open up the app, you know, be able to get that information right inside of NetNewsWire. So reaching into some of those areas on the internet that aren't necessarily as accessible is one of the things we're trying to do, or ones that haven't, I should say, not accessible, because I'm overloading that term, but not able to get into via, you know, your normal RSS feeds. We're working on that. Lots of big changes coming for the Mac. If you look at the iOS app has features that the Mac doesn't have. And all of those, you know, we've been refining, and those are coming to the Mac very soon in a future release. So yeah, we're really excited. We've got a great year ahead of us.
Wow, that's some exciting news. The social aspect sounds really interesting, as you just mentioned. Yeah, the Reddit and Twitter. That'll be interesting to see so we'll be able to incorporate that into the feeder. That is big right there. I think I would absolutely love that, and I think our listeners would too. That's exciting news. What is the best way, if somebody has some ideas or suggestions or feedback, what's the best way to contact you guys? Is it the site, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, so the best way is to go to look at the website. Go to ranchero.com, and Ranchero is our software development team, the umbrella organization for all the different Ranchero software, but mostly it's NetNewsWire. NetNewsWire is the big one. And if you go there, you can find our Slack channel, and you can go into our Slack channel. I don't know how accessible Slack is. I've never tested it, but that's the best way to interact with us. We're on, you know, every day almost. You might not get a reply immediately, but we'll definitely try to, you know, keep up with everybody as they talk, you know.
I love that name, Ranchero. That's a good name. I love that. I love these developers and software or company names that come up with the Ranchero. Now, before I go, I have to ask you before I forget, and have you created any apps yourself before in the past?
I mostly was a consultant. Okay. And so, yeah, anything you would have seen that I had done would have been like a banking website or insurance company service site. So, okay. No, NetNewsWire is the first one that really is a high visibility app that I've ever worked on.
Well, fantastic. This has been a great interview with you, Maurice, and you've been great and insightful and in-depth about your experience with the NetNewsWire. And not only that, but I'm so proud of you guys, and it's so wonderful. And that's why I love bringing people on like you to come out and tell us about your experience with it. Your fingers being into the accessible field is very insightful for all of us. We really appreciate that.
Thank you for your time, Thomas.
Well, thank you too. All right. Well, that's going to do for AppleViz Extra with the developer of NetNewsWire with Maurice Parker. Until next time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleViz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleViz and like us on Facebook.